I'm aware of the fact tonight that I'm going to walk on some ground on which we have walked previously. But I want to emphasize several things tonight, and I'm going to talk tonight on the science of maintenance. I'm aware of the fact that we have, some of the things I'm going to say tonight have been said, but not many of them, and much of what I'm going to say is new. The science of maintenance. Open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. I'm going to read three passages tonight and then talk to you for a while about something very important in the Christian life and in life in general. The fruit, this is verse 30, Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I'm going to come back to that after a while. Now turn, please, if you would, to John chapter 15. We were there just a few days ago. In fact, I think last Wednesday night. John chapter 15. Verse number 16. John 15 and verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now back to the very famous Matthew 28. We call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28 and verse 19. 28th chapter of Matthew, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to teach something very vital about life. And I pray you'd help me to be a help to these whom I've served for these 35 years nearly, and with whom I've served, and who've served me and you. I pray tonight you'd make this a profitable time for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to go right through the verses we just read a while ago and teach them to you for a few minutes. Open your Bibles again to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. I'll ask you to follow me and listen to me carefully. I'm going to cover quite a bit of ground tonight. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now look at me. If I ask you what the fruit of a child of God was, or you'd, most of you would say souls. If I ask you what the fruit of an orange tree is, most of you would say oranges, but that isn't true. If I ask you what the fruit of a apple tree is, most of us would say apples, but that's not true. The fruit of an apple tree is another apple tree. And the fruit of an orange tree is another orange tree. And the fruit of the Christian is another soul winner. It says right here, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What does that mean? That means the fruit of a righteous is a tree that brings forth more fruit. I've heard a lot of people talk about Proverbs 11:30 and say that's the soul-winning verse. That is not only a soul-winning verse, but that is the verse that teaches us that we're supposed to train the people that we win to win others to Christ. The fruit of the righteous is not a soul, but another soul winner. It's not just getting somebody saved, but it's getting somebody saved who's trained to get somebody else saved. Now turn, please, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We'll look at that. Teach it for a few moments. John chapter 15 and verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now our hyper-Calvinist heretics who say that God chose some to go to heaven and some to go to hell, will wrongly teach you that this proves their point. It doesn't prove their point at all. I preached years ago at the Dallas Theological Seminary, And that's a hotbed of hyper-Calvinism, where they believe that God has chosen some to go to heaven, some to go to hell. And I preached that day on hyper-Calvinism. And they loved my topic, but didn't love the way I addressed it. Because it says here, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, let's see what he chose us to do, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. God didn't say, I've chosen you to salvation. You chose salvation. But after you get saved, God's chosen you to get somebody else saved. And it says here, and that your fruit should remain. Are you listening? That's the same thing we read a while ago. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Or the fruit of the righteous is another fruit-bearing tree. And the fruit of that tree is another fruit-bearing tree. And the fruit of a child of God is not just another Christian, but another soul-winning Christian. And now he said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that isn't all he's chosen us to do. And that your fruit should remain. We're not supposed to leave the fruit out on the ground. We're supposed to take the fruit, listen to me now, and make other fruit bearers out of that fruit. You know, years ago, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who was one of the greatest men I ever met, somebody asked me one time, what are the five greatest men of our generation? I said, what do you mean? They said, greatness in the sense of leadership and knowledge, not just Christian men, but greatness in as far as a man's concerned, the whole picture. And I said, Winston Churchill, Douglas MacArthur, J. Edgar Hoover, Bob Jones Sr., and John R. Rice. I think, as far as I'm concerned, are the five greatest, as far as greatness is concerned, total greatness. I know Bob Jones Sr., somebody cornered him one day and said, why aren't you cooperating in the Billy Graham Crusade? And Billy Graham was in New York City and had the National Council of Churches crowd with him. And when they had the crusade here, even the Catholics joined in. And Dr. Bob Jones said, I can't do it because I can't yoke up with unbelievers like that. And they said, well, but he bears fruit. Dr. Bob said, yes, but he destroys the orchard. You see? So the important thing is to have an orchard, not just to bear fruit. If you destroy the fruit trees, so the trees can't bear fruit anymore, then you've hampered fruit bearing instead of aided fruit bearing. Now, it says, look at it again, verse 16, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Now look at me. What if I am a soul winner, and what if I train soul winners? People often ask me, Brother Hiles, what's the secret to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana? And I say, one of the main secrets is that I am a stencil. I don't use stencils anymore on a mimeograph machine. And I just run copies of myself off. You will never hear another R.G. Lee, but you hear little Jack Hiles is all across this country throwing a fit all across the country because I have reproduced myself. Now, the child of God is supposed to reproduce himself. And if I do bear fruit, and if my fruit does remain, look at the last part of verse 16 again, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Sound like to me you've got to be a soul winner training other soul winners in order to get your prayers answered. That's what it says. It says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What's that? To go bring forth fruit. Is that all? No, that your fruit should remain. Same thing it said in Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So I'm saying, you have here two things. Now, listen carefully to this, because this is the basis of what I'm going to say. You have production, and you have maintenance. You have production, and you have maintenance. Now, if you would, please, look at, what was our third scripture? Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20. The last two verses of Matthew. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations. That's getting people saved. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now look at me. Have you obeyed the Great Commission if you get somebody saved? Not yet. Not yet. You have not obeyed the Great Commission till you get that person saved and baptized. Have you obeyed the Great Commission after you get somebody saved and baptized? No, not yet. Look at verse 19 again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means get them saved. And in Mark it says preach the gospel to every creature, and it gives the same thing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice it does not say baptize them. Listen to me now. Do you snickering and laughing a bit later. Let's learn some Bible right now. Let's act like we want to know what God wants us to learn here. He said, get them baptized. And notice it says baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Now these people are talking about baptizing just in Jesus' name. It says commanded me to go get them baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Not just Jesus' name. Now what else? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. All right? What are the three things of the Great Commission? Get them saved, get them baptized, and then teach them. Teach them what? Teach them what he commanded us. What did he command us? To go get people saved, get them baptized. Jesus said that when you get people saved, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father. So you tell them what I just told you, to go get folks saved, get them baptized. You teach them what I commanded you. Now, listen carefully to me. Then he said, lo, I'm with you always. What, when is he with us always? If we go, get people saved, get them baptized, and teach them. He said, then I am with you always. Now, let me talk to you for a while. Mrs. Hiles, several years ago, bought a Oldsmobile. I helped her buy it. In fact, she didn't help me buy it. I bought her an Oldsmobile car. I won't tell you where I bought it, but it was a local Oldsmobile place. The salesman was really charming, delightful man, good man. I mean, he was good morally or not, but he was a good salesman. And the car was beautiful. If I remember correctly, it was a silver, bullet silver color car. I think it was an 88 Oldsmobile, and it was a good-looking car. We bought it. We were very satisfied with the car, and she was very satisfied with the car, and very satisfied with the salesman, the way they treated us. She took it in for a checkup, and when she got it back, every time she pushed on the brake, the radio came on. And the radio wouldn't turn off till you pushed on the brake again. So the radio only went when you stopped. And when you started, it had to stop again, turn the radio off. Now, we didn't go back there. You listen to me? We didn't go back there. We didn't buy another car there. We liked the production, but we didn't like the maintenance. I don't care what you're operating, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what you're operating. Unless you have those two departments, it'll not be a success. You've got to have production, and you've got to have maintenance. That's what our Lord is teaching us here in these three passages. He said that the fruit of the righteous, that's production, is a tree of life, that's maintenance. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, that's production. Teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, that's maintenance. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you that you should go and bring forth fruit. That's production, and that your fruit should remain. That's maintenance. The men on our staff here are men who are to do both production and maintenance. Let me just take Roy Moffat over here. He does neither. Production or maintenance. Let's go to the next one. Roy Moffat, production. What is that? Bus ministry. A bus ministry. Maintenance, what's that? He teaches an adult Sunday school class. You see, follow me? Fruit of production and maintenance. Ray Young over here. Fruit, that's the B, C, and D. And G bus ministry. Maintenance, what's that? That's the work at Howells Anderson College. Training people. Brother Jeff Owens, production, that's getting people saved in the high school Bible club ministries. Maintenance, that's teaching an adult young couple Sunday school class. Brother Ed Lapina, production, teenage soul winning. Maintenance, teaching a couple Sunday school class. I was thinking about Maxine Jeffries. Production, getting deaf people saved. Maintenance, visiting and ministering to the shut-ins of our church. Brother Keith McKinney. Production, having a rescue mission to get folks saved. Maintenance, he works with the Widows Indeed program. providing mowing the yards for all the widows over 60 in our church, and shoveling snow in the wintertime for all the widows over 60 in our church, and providing food for those who are hungry. I can tell you churches all across America that have production but don't have maintenance. Now, you won't grow a church without both. I can tell you churches, get them saved, dip them and drop them. And we get criticized for that, but it's not accurate criticism because we don't do that here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'll show you that after a while. On the other hand, I know churches all across America, all they have is maintenance. They're busy maintaining the converts they're not having. They have no production department. I mean, they get one convert and get him petrified and magnified and simonized other stuff. But I'm saying that I know churches all across America have a handful of folks saved a year and spend their time maintaining that crowd. But God wants us to have a production department that is par excellent, producing sinners, and then God wants us to have a maintenance department whereby we maintain the sinner. Listen to me, young folks. Whereby we maintain the saints. Now, let me show you what we're talking about. Under my door, there comes notes about a sermon. Dear Brother Hines, thank you for the sermon this morning. It brought praise and honor to my Savior. Nobody ever writes that. Nobody. They will Sunday, but they haven't up to now. Dear Brother Hiles, thank you for the sermon. It helped the deaf people. Nobody writes that. Thank you for the sermon, Brother Hiles. It is exactly what, finish it, I need it. Now, the truth is, I tell preachers across the country, and our preacher boys ought to know this, your people are going to come to hear you for what they get out of it. I hate to say it, that shouldn't be necessarily all true. But the average person that comes here Sunday morning is coming for selfish reasons, for what they can get out of it. We have thousands of people here at First Baptist Church of Hammond who could care less about the bus ministry. I tell preachers across the country, you feed the people and maintain the people, and they will allow you to get by with the bus ministry. But the honest, simple truth is, you've got to have more than a production department. You've got to have a maintenance. Let me illustrate what I mean. Brother Colston, visiting the sick in the hospitals. What is that? Maintenance department. Maxine Jeffries, working with the shut-ins. What is that? Maintenance department. Brother Keith McKinney, taking care of the yards and the snow of the widows. Not him. He's the executive type. But what is that? That's maintenance. Our young people's camps, what is that? That's maintenance. This very Bible study we're having right now tonight, our Bible study, what's that? That's maintenance. Of the 156 sermons and Bible studies I give in this church over a period of a year's time, I promise you no more than 3 are to unsaved people. I promise you that 153 of the 156 sermons and Bible studies from this pulpit every year are for the Christian people and their maintenance. The weddings. A lot of folks don't know this, but when I have a wedding, a night or two before the wedding, I go by the homes of the folks getting married. And I stop in front of those houses, and I'll take a few minutes, maybe 15 sometimes, and pray for God to bless the couple. And I'll relive the life of the couple. I married the Vogel girl to the Duff boy. And I went out to the Vogel's house out off Joliet Street in Sherryville. And I parked in front of the house one night and TP'd the house. I've got to get your attention every once in a while. But I parked in front of the house and I prayed for God to bless Priscilla. And I remember her childhood and her teenage years and now her adult years, her college years. I went out to Duff's house, also out in Sherryville. And I parked in front of their house, and I prayed for Mark and remembered Mark's childhood and so forth. What's that? That's maintenance. If I have a funeral here, I go to the home the night before or a night or two before. I go to the home and I park out in the front and I pray for God to bless the family who's lost the loved one. I remember the loved one. And what's that? That's maintenance. The weddings we try to have. We try to have the most beautiful, sweetest weddings anywhere. What's that? That's maintenance. We try to have comforting funerals. What's that? That's maintenance. I average 147 people a week in my office for counseling or asking for advice. What's that? That's maintenance. Our youth activities. What's that? That's maintenance. Our little league for our boys. What's that? That's war between umpires and mothers. But that's maintenance. Hammond Baptist Schools. What's that? That's maintenance. City Baptist School. What's that? That's maintenance. Howells Anderson College. What's that? That's maintenance. You preacher boys better get this down real well. And that is, you go out, all you do is get a bunch of folks saved, and you're not going to build a great church. And then you go out, and all you do is just feed the sheep, feed the sheep, feed the sheep, like these so-called deeper life folks do. You're not going to build a great church. You've got to give yourself to soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, and then you've got to maintain and maintain. You've got to have a production department, and also you've got to have a maintenance department, or you won't build a great church. What is maintenance? Listen carefully, I'll tell you what it is. Maintenance is treating something with the same care as you treated it with when it was new. Maintenance is treating something with the same care that you used when it was new. Maintenance is trying as hard to keep it as you tried to get it. Every week sometime, this is terrible. But every week sometime, there's a certain house in Lansing, Illinois, I drive by. Sometimes the front, sometimes the back. I've watched that house deteriorate through the years. It is poorly maintained. I mean, the gutters in bad shape. The trim hasn't been painted. The wood around the wood trim is rotting. One time, a builder built that house. One time, a couple came by to look at it. One time, that was their dream home. At one time, they couldn't wait till they got in that house. At one time, they got in that house and got furnishings for it and were so thrilled. That's production. But that house tonight is absolutely run down terribly. I told Brother Moffat to do something about it. But it's not his fault. JoJo just will not do it. But I'm saying that churches all across America are like that house. Young preachers leave Howells Anderson College and go out here, and the first thing they do, start bus ministries. And I'm not against a bus ministry, but that's not the first thing you start. The first thing you do is you build yourself a solid base of Christian people who've been converted and been trained and matured and tithed. And then you build a bus ministry. I'm saying you've got to have a maintenance department if you get the job done. Now, let's go a step further. Let's leave the church for a while. Let's go to your marriage. Thank you. Let's go to your marriage for a while. What is maintenance? Maintenance is treating her the same way after 25 years you did when you first got her. That's maintenance. Maintenance on the marriage is being just as courteous after 25 years as you were after 25 minutes. What is maintenance? Maintenance is being just as affectionate after 25 years as you were when you first got her. Many of you folks, and I'd rather you wouldn't snicker right now. We'll laugh after a while, but right now I want to be dead serious with you. Many of you folks are having marital problems all over this room, and I know a dozen of you right now that I know I'm counseling with, and I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to help you, but if I got to make you smart a little bit to wake you up and help you, I'm going to do it. Now I want to tell you something. The problem is your maintenance department fell apart. I mean, fellas, it was perfume. Open the car door for It was sweet words. You sure are pretty tonight. She's twice as pretty as she was then. She's got twice as much to be pretty as she had then. And I'm saying this. I'm saying that your problem, that one problem, just one. You got one problem with your marriage. Just it. And that is, you have not maintained that marriage like you produced that marriage. You do not, you're not as affectionate as you were when you tried to get her. You are not as courteous as you were when you tried to get her. You don't dress like you did when you tried to get her. When you had a date, you were Lord Chesterfield. I mean, you came with a nice suit and tie and white shirt and shine shoes and cologne. And now then, what do? Sit there, lay there on the couch and watch a football game in your shorts and your undershirt. You're an idiot. Now you listen to me. When you've been married 25 years, you ought to be just as courteous to that woman as you were the day you were dating her. Your maintenance department is what has thrown you. Now, I'm going to say this too. Listen to me now. You ought to be just as affectionate to that woman. And I'll get to you ladies after a while. But you ought to be just as affectionate to that woman as you were the day you married her. Your problem is not that you don't love him anymore. Your problem is that he did not keep up the maintenance. His production department was great. And if he had worked as hard to keep you as he did to get you. Now that's what it is. Maintenance is when you treat something the same way to maintain it as you did to get it. I'm talking about manners. I saw one of our couples the other day going into a restaurant. I was driving down Indianapolis Boulevard. You say, was it us? Yeah. The guy got out of the car, took off to the door of the restaurant. His belt barely held up his pants because it wouldn't go around his stomach. He had no tie on. That man is in this room right now. He had no tie on. He went straight to the door of the restaurant. She was sitting out there in the car. She opens the door herself, gets out of the car. He's in the restaurant. She's still getting out of the car. Traffic, they're parked parallel. Traffic. She follows him in. He's already in there. She's still out there trying to get out of the car. And in this case, it was a little hard squeeze route. Now you listen to me. That's not the way you did it. That's not the way the production department operated. Now you hear me carefully. I counsel with people every week of my life whose marriages are crumbling. And the reason they're crumbling is that they do not use the same affection that they had in producing the marriage, the same common courtesy that they had in producing the marriage, the same manners that they had in producing the marriage, the same dress that they had in producing the marriage, the same thoughtfulness that they had in producing the marriage. Now let's go to you ladies. You worked awful hard to get that fella. And in production department, I mean, you were very affectionate. You first got married. And you were very affectionate. Now the honest, simple truth is, listen carefully. I'm going to give you tonight, step by step, what's happening to our marriages in our church. Number one, they get married, and the production is fabulous. Number two, one party has no maintenance department. Number three, the other party hungers for maintenance. A little kind, I love you. A little, you're a great gal or a great guy. Display of affection. Common courtesy. Common manners. I'm talking about what you did when you're trying to get her. Or get him. One party hungers for maintenance. What is maintenance? Treating someone like you did when you at production time. The other party, now hear me carefully now. The other party doesn't give it. The party that's hungers and hungers. Now listen carefully. And in some cases, even pleads. Or hints. Now hear me carefully. Then the party that's hungry crosses a line. And they don't want it anymore. Then the party who did not have the maintenance department gets the maintenance department in good shape. After, it's too late. Don't misunderstand me. Anybody that's got that much character is not going to take off. But I'm trying to tell you, whether we like it or not, this is what's happening. I know what, listen, I spend my life in this business. I know what's happening. One party is hungry for affection or kindness or gentleness or thoughtfulness. And the other, I've got him now, or I've got her now, I don't need to do that. And then the party that's hungry pleads, appeals, begs, hints, hurts. And the party that is has no maintenance does nothing about it. So one day the hungry party crosses a line. I could name five families in this church right now that come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and oftentimes on Wednesday night. Where I'm thinking about three or four cases right now where the husband did not have the maintenance department. He took his wife for granted. And one day she got to where she didn't want it anymore. And as soon as she got that way and the marriage was crumbling, he decided he'd work on the maintenance department. The time he decided to do what he should have done for 25 years, she doesn't want that anymore. Now you better listen to me. You better decide, if you want to have a happy marriage, you better decide to maintain it. You say, how you maintain it? Well, Gucci Goo is one way. And boopsie whoopsie is another way. And lovey-dovey is another way. And I love you is another way. Well, you say, I'm just not the affectionate type. You were when you got him. I hate to say this, but some of you people, now I won't even say it. But I'm saying, yes, I'm going to say it. Before you got married, you, hear me now, before you married some of you, you did wrong. And now that it's right, you won't. You were affectionate when it was sinful. But now that it's not sinful, you're not. I'm talking about more than that. I'm talking about good morning, how are you? I'm talking about, did you have a nice day today? I'm talking about, you look nice. I'm talking about, pardon me, please. I'm talking about the fellow walking on the outside down the abreast with his wife, not in front like he's pulling a dog on a leash. Churches in America tonight, all America crumbling because they have good production departments and poor maintenance departments, and marriages are crumbling because they have good production department and poor maintenance department. Same thing's true with friendship. The old, I took him for granted. He's dead now, but I took him for granted. Well, you don't have to do that if you've got enough character. You ought to maintain a friendship with the same way that you cultivated that friendship. I'll tell you what. God gave you a little baby. And that little baby, so cute. And you carried on over that little baby. Now listen to me, parents. You carried on over that little baby. Gucci, goo, awavu. Toss him up in the air, hug him and kiss him. Showered that little baby with affection. That's the production department. When that little baby got 13 and irritating, the real you showed up. Now, I won't tell you not. I know what I'm talking about. Some of these teenagers are starving for somebody to do some maintenance. Starving! Those young ladies and young men that come by my office on Saturday morning are gracious and lovable and kind and sweet. They just need some attention. But you say, but they're so irritating. You're not going to maintain a relationship with them unless your maintenance department's in good shape. And you ought to work as hard right now to be close, harder to be close to them. And by the way, the older they get, the more maintenance they need. And the older, longer you've been married, the more maintenance your marriage needs. More maintenance your body needs, too. The older your car is, the more maintenance. That woman right there on the front row, Miss Hiles, I promise you that when she sells a car, it's as good a shape as it was when she bought it. Remember you got that car? And remember that it sprinkled the first day? And you went out, remember? Remember that you got that car and you ran across a road that was freshly poured and you wanted to sue the town? Now, there's a college student had a van and it had 40,000, 50,000 miles, maybe not that many. But that van, leisure van, he couldn't pay for it, so I took over the payment. We kept that thing maintained. That thing lasted over 300,000 miles. And then it didn't run down. Somebody hit it and totaled it. It wouldn't die. We had to kill it. He said, how'd you kill it? Let a woman drive it. I can show you the same vehicles that didn't get 75,000 miles. What is it? Maintenance. Maintenance. There ought not to be. Listen, when you were courting her, You were the perfect, you ate with your hand under the table, left hand that is. I mean, remember how you planned the dates? You went to get her and everything was planned. Corsage, a little gift. You had a reservation in a restaurant, remember? And you opened the door for her, and she sat down, and you went around and got behind the wheel, and your chaperone was in the back. Remember a chaperone? In that case, it was a Cocker Spaniel chaperone, but... Now then, after all these years, it's time to go out and eat. You run to get in the car. She's not ready yet, so you honk. She comes out. She opens the door. You sit there, and you look at her and say, finish it. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? What you ought to do is want to go back in the house. And by the way, ladies, before you get too self-sufficient, self-satisfied here, you're doing the same things. You are not maintaining that thing that you have, whether it's your marriage, a friendship, whether it's a parent with a child, it's not going to last. Car, a house, a church, a marriage, a friendship, a family relationship, it is not going to last unless you maintain it. And that is, give it equal attention through the years as you gave it to acquire it. I was at a church recently. I won't tell you where and I won't tell you when. The pastor and his wife, and I'll close and I'll get through with this. The pastor and his wife wanted to talk to me in the afternoon. After we had a morning service and had a luncheon, and I'd spoken a while at the luncheon and had a question and answer time, I went to the pastor's study with his wife and him, and we talked, and they told me a story. They said, our church is having serious problems. They said, we're about to have a split. We're about to lose so many families. And while I'm quoting the pastor's wife, if we lose those families, our church will go under. I said, what do you mean go under? She said, we'll not be able to make the payments on the mortgage. I was there 2 days. Pastor said, can you help me? And I said, yes, I can. I said, you start a good maintenance department. I said, you get some Bible studies and teach them on Wednesday night that help your people to live right and give them truths that will change their lives, their marriage, their home, their business, their character. And I said, you offer your time to counsel those people. I told him, I said, you have a good production department, but you don't have a maintenance department. I went to this church. That was on Tuesday afternoon. I went to the church that night, and I said to the people, I'm not going to preach long tonight. I want to just talk to you for a while first. I think I called it piddling around. And I said, this afternoon, and boy, it scared the pastor to death. I said, this afternoon, and all the opposition was out there. I said, this afternoon, the pastor and his wife asked if they could talk to me. And I said, the pastor and his wife told me that there's some problem in the church. But I said, something happened that hasn't happened in 46 years of preaching my ministry. When the pastor told me about the problem, he told mistakes he had made. He did not mention one negative thing about the people. I said, folks, I haven't had that happen to me in 46 years. Your pastor told me you're having some problems, and he told me that it was that he had made some mistakes and didn't even mention yours at all. And I said, the truth is, his mistakes aren't near as big as the mistakes I've made. I told about the building across the alley. I said, let me tell you what made the First Baptist Church of Hammond great. I said, the great body of membership at First Baptist Church of Hammond, when we got together just like a couple gets married. It's till death do us part. Till death. Not till disagreement do us part. Not till arguments do us part. But till death do us part. And I said, that's what we decided to do. And I said, that the First Baptist Church of Hammond is not great because of Brother Hiles. I said, the First Baptist Church of Hammond is great because Brother Hiles came to stay and the people came to stay. And I'm not on trial. And the folks aren't on trial. People don't worry about me leaving. I don't worry about them leaving. It's till death do us part. I preached my sermon. Had nothing to do with it. Problem. Service ended. Fellow walked up, shook my hand, said, would you sign my Bible? I did. He walked away and he turned around and began to cry. He said, could I hug you? I said, sure. This big tall man hugged me and he said, I'm one of the folks who's leaving, but I'm staying. He said, I'm staying. He said, I'm not leaving. One by one, those people came by and said the same thing. And the church was saved. And when I left, the pastor was shouting. And his wife was crying. That's what women cry, men shout. And the church was spared. But the thing I told the pastor when I left, I said, now you got to do one thing. You're going to have to maintain the people. Let them know you're available for counseling. I said, get some good Bible studies. Get my book on the Holy Spirit and teach it. My book on prayer and teach it. But you have got to maintain the people. Now listen carefully. Your problem with your teenage child is the maintenance department broke down. Your problem with your parents, young people, is you are not trying to maintain a relationship with your parents. I'll promise you that Cindy Scott works at maintaining a relationship with her dad. I'll promise you that. Now, there's no need for young people and parents to be enemies. All you got to do is get your maintenance department in decent shape. The trouble with your... Well, we used to be friends. There's no such thing as used to being friends. That is totally a misnomer. There's no such thing. If you were friends, you're always friends. Till death do us part. But our maintenance department. Ask a question. You're out in the car, your wife's late to go out and eat. Sitting out in the car. The lady next door walks by with her dog. And you say, good morning! Or good evening! How are you all? How's your husband? Isn't it a nice, beautiful evening? She walks by. Beep! Come on! We're going to be late! Your maintenance department is sloppy. Now, I want to say a word tonight to those of you that have crossed that line. Go back on the other side of it. And I want to say to you folks that have put it off. Now that they've crossed the line, you've decided to improve the maintenance department, I want to say to you, you get that maintenance department in good shape. If that fellow's lost his hair, you tell him that nothing more beautiful than a slick head. If she's three times what she was, you tell her that just more of it a hug, and you thank God it takes longer to hug her. You have to do it in three settings. Your problems, whether it's with your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, your friend, your husband, your wife, your pastor, or if you are a pastor, your church. Your problems is you don't have a good maintenance department. When Jacqueline Kennedy and John F. Kennedy arrived in Dallas on the ill-fated trip to Dallas, from which he never returned alive, they got off the airplane at Dallas Airport. Thousands of people crammed to get a look at them. This charming young couple. President of the United States. And John Kennedy said, Jacqueline, walk slowly through the crowd. When I leave this building on a Sunday night or Sunday morning or Wednesday night, especially on Sundays, I walk out that door. I do nothing on Sunday nights especially but shake hands till I get to my office. And it's not a, hello, 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 hi. No, it's not that way. It's congenial. And it's genuine. You call that maintenance. Be as nice to our people as you are visitors. be as nice, if you're a salesperson or clerk, be as nice on December 26th as you were December 24th. Be as nice when it's returned as you were when it was bought. And I promise you, in the long run, you'll lead the store in sales. Whether it's a church, a home, a business, a relationship, a family, a friendship, whatever it is, it has to have two departments to succeed: production and maintenance. Now, I want you to do some inventory right now. I said maintenance is treating something with the same care as you treated it when it was new. That's treating that 1977 Ford. By the way, I have to admit something. That van that got 300,000 miles was a Ford van. I hate to say that. It takes all the grace I've got to say that. With a Chevrolet engine. It means that you take the same care of that 1977 Ford as you do that 1994 Ford. It means you take the same care of that apartment you rent as you would the new house you bought. Production and maintenance. Our Howells Anderson College boys go all across the country. If they don't watch it, they produce, they don't maintain, and they don't build churches. These interdenominational deeper life folks and these Bible institutes, they go around the country maintaining and not producing. The successful ministry has to maintain, or produce, and maintain. It's an old story. I'll close with it. And I'll close with another one. Come to think of it, I closed about 15 minutes ago, didn't I? I'm trying to maintain the length of our services. I got a letter after I became pastor here from a lady, one of the most complimentary letters I ever received. She said, "Dear Pastor, for over a year, or about a year, our church was without a pastor." She said, "I prayed for God to give us a strong, hard, evangelistic preacher." Then she said, "I changed my mind." And I said, "No, Lord, we want somebody to teach us. I prayed for somebody to teach us." Then she said, "I got thinking, no, I'd rather have the evangelistic, zealous type." And then she said, I just vacillated from one to the other for all that year. I'd pray for God to give us a strong, hard-hitting, separatist, evangelistic type. And I'd change my mind, and I'd pray for God to give us teacher type, to teach us the Bible. And then one little line down at the bottom says, nicest note, I guess, one of the nicest notes ever got. She said, "And to think, God answered both prayers." Now, that's what I want to do. And that's what I want you to do in your job, in your marriage, in your home, in your friendship, with your children, with your parents, and you guys that go out to pastor in your churches. Production and maintenance. Both are necessary. Each is necessary, or the other will fail. Shall we stand, please?